Well, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4, and I'll pray, and then we'll have a look at what we have here. And I have to admit that it's not all that exciting in the sense of uplifting, encouraging stuff that we get here. You know, even the last couple of weeks and this week, we get on to some better stuff, more encouraging stuff. But what this just shows me is that these sort of things have been happening in churches from the very beginning. And so it shouldn't surprise us when we still can relate to what is told here, but reminder that our hearts have been the same all the time, and we need it just as much today as we did back then. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. Thank you that we can spend this time in your word. We pray that you may encourage us and help us. And Lord, if there are things that we need to learn today, let that be so. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the past 2 weeks, we've seen from chapter 3 how James gives the believers a lesson on wisdom. He tells us what godly wisdom looks like and how it's gentle and peaceful and pure and a number of things like that. And then he tells us what devilish wisdom is like and how it causes strife and causes feuding. And then after he establishes these things to his readers, it seems like he turns the spotlight. It's like he's built his argument and then he turns the spotlight right on him. And he says there in chapter 4, verse 1, this: "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" And so basically he says, if you are so wise, if you are so godly, then why are you fighting amongst yourselves? And he begins to really probe deeply into the lives of his readers. He points it right to them. They must have been fighting amongst themselves. There must have been feuding and troubles. And so now he's going to deal with it now that he's established the foundation of what is wise and godly and what is devilish. And today we're going to look at the first three verses of chapter 4. And there are three things that I want to bring out from here and I want us to notice. And so we're going to have a look at what James talks about as he deals with strife among believers. Now, it's very interesting. You won't know at home, but we've got young children in the church, and they haven't been to church for like 6 months or anything, so they're all trying to work out what on earth's going on. And so, don't worry, parents. I will try and be very patient with you, all right? I understand this is all new for a lot of people. I'll just keep going, all right, regardless. So, verse 1. What James does is show us the source of strife. When there's strife, he tells us where the source of this is. He says, "From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" And in this verse, we're introduced to two wars. And it's really important to understand this. There are two wars going on. There's the war that's going on amongst the brethren. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" And so they were fighting with each other. That's the first war. But the second war was taking place within the individuals. Because he says, "Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" And so there was also a war going on within each believer. And James tells us here that the war that's going on inside the believer is the cause of the wars that are going on outside amongst the believers. And so it's good to have a closer look at this verse so we can understand it. James must have known that there were problems going on and there was fighting with one another and arguments. And so he says, where do these fights come from? What's the cause of these things? It certainly isn't coming from the Holy Spirit. He brings peace and love and gentleness. And so where's it coming? And maybe you've asked yourself the same question. You've seen maybe churches and they're fighting and feuding amongst one another and you think, why are they fighting so much? Or you might ask yourself when you find yourself fighting and feuding with other people and you might ask yourself, where's all this coming from? I'm not usually like this. Why am I doing this? Or you might see a husband and wife fighting. Or you might see children fighting with their parents and there's strife. And the question is, why is there wars and strife going on? Well, in James's case, he not only asks the question, but he also gives the answer. That's really good. He asks the question and then he gives the answer. Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? And so James tells us that these wars and fights between each other come from the lusts that are at war within each member. And so when lusts dominate us, and the flesh is in control of us, and it's winning the battle, we see here that it causes trouble with others. You see, like it or not, there's a battle going on within each one of us. The lust is at war with the flesh. The flesh is at war with the spirit. In Galatians, it's made very clear. You can turn there if you like. But in Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the spirit. All right, let the spirit have control of you, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't act the way the flesh wants you to act if you let the spirit control you. And then he goes on to say, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. They are opposed to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so the flesh and the spirit are enemies. They're at war with each other. They seek the opposite things. And when the flesh is in control of us, it controls us to the point where we can't do the things that we as believers really want to be doing. And so in our bodies, there's a war going on. It's between the flesh and the spirit. And sadly, this war is going to last until the very day that we die. So it's not like, okay, I've sorted out that war. There's no more problems there. I can enjoy it for the rest of my life. No, this war is going to go on day after day. It's a battle we have to be involved in every day of our life. And if the flesh does take control of a person for the rest of their life, or maybe for a month or two, or a week, or even a day, well then, it will be noticed by the actions and how that person lives their life. Let me give you an example. Just say you wake up, you're feeling good, you're having a great day, you go off to work, or you go to church, or whatever it may be, and someone does something or says something that really offends you. Okay? I'm sure it's happened. And soon as that happens, the flesh rises up, doesn't it? And wants revenge. It wants to say something nasty back. It wants to, if it's someone that's really hurt you, you want to gather some people around and make sure they get what they deserve. You want revenge in some way. But the Spirit says, no, that's not how you should act as a believer. You should forgive them and love them regardless. But the flesh doesn't like that. And then all of a sudden there's this battle going on inside you. Now, if the Spirit wins the battle on the inside, you settle down, you forgive that person, you understand they might be having a bad day, and you just keep on going, and there's no wars and fights. But if the flesh wins the battle, you're going to say those things, you're going to act in a way that's going to hurt that person who has hurt you. Sharp words spoken. Ignore the person and you go real cold towards them. You gossip about them or whatever it may be that hurts them. And so the flesh does what it wants and the result is ultimately strife. That person then gets hurt from you. They might say something back and so on. That's how it all happens. And where did all the strife and all the problems come from in the very first place? It came from losing the battle in the flesh. one person lost the battle, did something, and that other person lost the battle, they responded, and so on. And so James says here, the fights and the arguments and the unkind actions towards others in the church or wherever it may be come from our own sinful lusts, that war in the flesh. You aren't to blame others and say it's all their fault. No, it's because you, me, whoever it is losing the battle on the inside. We're living with the flesh in control. We're walking after the flesh instead of after the Spirit. And so if you see people fighting with each other in a local church, if you find yourself fighting with your friends or your spouse or parents, if a church or a family is starting to fall apart because of all the dramas and the angry words, you're wondering, why is there so much strife? Well, then you can turn to what God says here. The source of it is somebody or maybe everybody's inability to win the battle within. And the flesh is taking control. And it's affecting a person's actions. And so that's the first thing that James establishes. The source of strife amongst brethren is the flesh is out of control, or in control, really. You're losing the battle inside. But then in verse 2, we see the selfishness of the flesh. We see how bad it really is. Let me read verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. I want you to notice how selfish the flesh is. Notice that it says the flesh lusts. That's the first way he describes the flesh. That is, it desires things beyond the boundaries that God has set. Then it says the flesh kills. Now that's just a very hard way or strong way of saying the flesh hates others. All right. Yes, it can kill as well. But Jesus said if you hate someone angry with someone without a cause, it's like killing them. So that's what he's getting at here. I don't think the believers were going around actually killing one another, but they were certainly hating one another. The flesh desires to have, it says there. That is, it's envious and jealous. And the flesh fights and has wars. It will do anything to get its way. And so this is a description of the flesh. It desires things it shouldn't have. It hates. It's envious. It's jealous. It fights. It causes trouble. And what that means is someone is controlled by the flesh, well, then they're going to be full of a lot of nasty, awful things. And so what that means is if you find yourself lusting, that is, you're never satisfied with the blessings that God has and you want things beyond the boundaries that God has put, if you find yourself hating and you are really spiteful towards others, if you find yourself envious of others, you want what they have, their house, their car, their job, their income, their wife or husband, their talents, their gifts, and you find yourself not content with what God has given you, or if you find yourself fighting and arguing all the time, then you can be sure that you're walking in the flesh. This is not someone that walks in the Spirit. Now, you might show all of these characteristics, and boy, that is a one nasty person. And if a Christian has all of those things, that's a nasty Christian. Or you might just show one, but it is still evidence of the flesh being in control. And it's a sobering thought, because often the longer you become a Christian, you can get blinded, a bit like cataracts, I guess. I've never had a cataract. I'm only just making this up as I go. But from what I'm gathering, a cataract slowly grows across your eye and you slowly go blind without realizing until you can't see. And you might be living your life and you can't see a part over there, but you don't realize it anymore because it just seems normal not to see over there. And that's what Christians can be like. We can start to allow the flesh to creep in areas And we are very fleshly, and it's controlling us, and we're not very nice, but we just don't see it in us. Because we get content with where we're at. And we're allowing the flesh to get stronger and stronger without even realizing it. But it's only when you start to compare yourself to what God's word says is someone who walks in the flesh, and then you're honest, you might find, hey, I'm never satisfied. I always want things beyond what God has. I am an angry person and spiteful. I am envious. Yeah, I always seem to be causing strife with others. That's when you realize I need to sort this out and not let the spirit allow the spirit to be in control instead of the flesh. One other interesting thing we see from verse 2, though, is how the flesh is never satisfied. If you put these together, it says, James says, ye lust and have not. You kill and envy but cannot obtain. You fight but have not. Notice that despite how the flesh is desiring to have and is envious and fighting, it never gets what it wants. It cannot obtain, as it says here. It cannot bring into possession what it's wanting. And I believe the reason for that is because the flesh ultimately wants satisfaction. And if there's one thing that the flesh will never get, and that is satisfaction. It will never obtain or get complete full satisfaction and contentment. It always wants more. That's how it's designed. Why do you think people will go out at nightclubs and get themselves drunk and commit immorality and then want to go around and do it the next weekend? It's because last week's efforts didn't satisfy the flesh. It just made it stronger. Why do you think rich people always want a little bit more? Because the flesh is never satisfied. And one of the biggest mistakes that Christians can make is, I will give into the flesh this time, let it have what it wants, get it out of my system, and then I'll be satisfied. Very big mistake. Because all that does is feed the flesh and make it stronger, so it's harder to say no to it next time. Everyone has made this mistake, and sadly many of get caught up and entangled with the flesh because they've done this. And people who think that I'll just let out my anger and get revenge this one time and think that then I'll be satisfied and content, they realize that the next time someone hurts them, it is even harder not to get angry and seek revenge. People who think, I'll just take these drugs or this alcohol or look at this pornography or commit this immorality this time and then I will be satisfied, they'll find that it's even harder not to go that direction next time the flesh rises up in that way. Why? The flesh is never satisfied. As Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The lust of the eyes and the flesh are never satisfied. Here we know where satisfaction is found. It says in Psalm 63, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. This is the joy for the Christian, that we can find satisfaction in the Lord. But it's satisfaction of the soul, not satisfaction of the flesh. Flesh is never satisfied. But we can find satisfaction and contentment in the soul. And so if you're looking for contentment, don't look for it in the flesh, but it is there in the soul. And so in verse 2, James shows us the selfishness of the flesh and how it's never satisfied. But then, I must admit, he goes on in verse 2 and in the start of verse 3, and what he says is a little bit confusing. It says, James first of all says, you have not because they don't ask. It says, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. All right, that makes sense. He's saying you don't have because you're not asking. But then in verse 3, he says, it seems the opposite. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And so, were they asking or were they not asking? That's the question. Well, I can only assume that he's talking to two groups of people, but both are still walking in the flesh. There were some who were so consumed with the flesh and getting what they want, they weren't even bothered asking God. They were just going for what they want, and if they had to fight and argue and whatever to get it, they will do that. And so, obviously, they're not asking. Where there are others who appeared to be more spirit controlled, because they were praying to God for these things. But these prayers were just fleshly prayers, and where they tried to get God to fulfill their fleshly desires. And here we see the supplication of the flesh. It's the third point. And this verse shows me where it says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. This shows me that just asking God for something doesn't mean that you're spirit controlled. That's the first thing. You can pray and think, I'm so spiritual, I'm praying to God for this. That doesn't mean you're spirit controlled. Also, it doesn't mean that you're going to get what you want. It says there that these ones, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. I think it's important to understand what that word amiss means. It doesn't mean, Lord, I pray that you will please supply this job for me. And you don't get it, so you must have asked amiss. All right? It's not talking about sort of things that we're asking. We're not really sure what God's will is. We want God's will, but we ask for things in that sense. The word really means wickedly and criminally. And so it's asking for wicked, bad things to fulfill, as it says there. That's why it makes sense. You ask and receive not, because you ask wickedly, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Some were asking the Lord to give them some things for the purpose of satisfying their sinful desires. That's what they were really asking for. They were desiring things that were amiss, wicked, and God was not going to give them. And here lies the mark in determining if our prayers are fleshly or not really, and that is, are we doing it to consume and fulfill the things that we are wanting in the flesh, or are we doing it because we want God to be glorified, or are there things that in everyday life, they're not wrong, they're not right, they're just things that we're asking God to give us wisdom and direction for because we want Him to guide us. You know, if you find yourself asking God to give you something, but if you really looked at the reason behind it, it is to because you're envious what others have had and you want what they have. And so it's really because of the flesh is in control. Or if you found yourself asking God to chasten someone because of their wickedness, but the real reason you're wanting them to be chastened is because you're angry and you want revenge and you're not, when you should be really forgiving the person. But it's really for your own revenge. Well, James says that God is not going to fulfill these type of prayers. And so, James, when inspired by God, writing to these believers who were obviously walking in the flesh and being controlled, explains to them these two principles. The wars that you're having are coming from within. Get that right, get that war right, and the other wars will be sorted out. But what we can be sure of is if the flesh is in control, it'll affect our actions, how we treat others, but it'll also affect our prayers, what we pray for. And so I will finish by asking you this simple question: how's the battle going on the inside? Don't worry about the battles you might be having with your siblings, your parents, your spouse, church members or friends. Don't worry about that. Let me ask you, how's the battle going on the inside with the flesh? You get that sorted and get in control and walk in the Spirit, and you'll find that your actions towards others and also your prayers will be in line with God, and you will see things change dramatically. And that's what James encourages the believers here to do as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we have your word to remind us, because we can so easily convince ourselves that we're okay, when in reality the Spirit is the one influencing us. Help us to see where we are right and pleasing in your sight, and where we have been wrong, that we may change. And help each one of us with that battle that we must fight every day with the flesh. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.